This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, jumping right into it here with David Noble in the house with us. David, great to see you here on this this Thursday morning. Can't believe it's Thursday already. Yeah. Thanks for filling in last week. Got a ton of great feedback. People always love it when you're on the show.
Well, thank you so much. I had so much fun with it. I love it. It's an absolute honor, and thanks to the listeners, and thanks to Travis, and thanks to the radio station. Thanks to you.
Well, anytime you want to come in here or call in when you're driving down the road, you know, it's open to you. So we enjoy having you in here every Thursday. I know we got a good woke update of the week here.
Good one today, yeah.
But we always want to do the I liked your idea about doing the wake up update, wake people up to the bad record of the liberal Senator John Tester. So I hadn't even seen this yet, but apparently liberal Senator John Tester, he made some remark about, what was his remark here? So Tester made a remark about how the United States, quote, farted around in the Middle East forever. So anyway, that line has really fired up a Navy SEAL in Bozeman, Montana, who says, here's what Tim Sheehy, the CEO of Bridger Aerospace, they do firefighting, wildfire surveillance services, et cetera, but he's an incredible guy. He's now responding to what Liberal Senator John Tester had to say, and he says, I was there, and I can promise you, I wasn't farting around, Senator.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And it's more of John Tester trying to, what, now he's a populist, conservative with the, you know, with the sort of pacifist, isolationist foreign policy, that's what he's going for? I mean, it's like, John Tester is fully supporting, American foreign policy under Joe Biden. And so does John Tester support how Joe Biden pulled out of Afghanistan?
Yeah. Well, and that's my thing is like, okay, the U.S. was farting around in the Middle East forever. And of course, a Navy SEAL like Tim Sheehy, who's an incredible guy, he served, his wife served. They both went to the Naval Academy, Purple Heart recipient. He's a Navy SEAL that also went through Army Ranger training, which, you know, grueling, both to become a SEAL and to go through Army Ranger school. But anyway, even if Tester wants to backtrack and waddle backwards and say, oh, well, I wasn't talking about our troops. Okay, well, even if you're talking about American foreign policy, well, where were you? You've been a United States Senator since the 2006 elections. So what have you been doing this whole time?
Well, and it's like him complaining about the debt. Now he's all concerned about the debt and the deficit. Yeah. It's just so phony. It's like, John Tester, you have been in power for all of this time. And moreover, it's like, I'm so sick of people like John Tester second-guessing American foreign policy. It's just like during the Cold War, when people want to second-guess what America did during the Cold War. We were engaged in a global war against communism, and you're going to sit here in 2023 and say, and the same thing with some of these wars in the Middle East, like Afghanistan. We had just gotten attacked on 9/11. Saddam Hussein, we thought, had weapons of mass. Yeah, maybe that was incorrect information, but we had there was a very different time, and for you to go back and then with 2020 hindsight and second guess previous decisions, that's preposterous.
Yeah, and then to do nothing about the very foreign policy that you're referring to here, since you've been in the decision making seat now for all these years, so you're the last person who should be pretending to take the high ground here.
Here is your Montana news. A 25-year-old man who was killed in Billings early Monday morning has been identified. The Yellowstone County Coroner released the name of the victim, Salomon Nava Sr. Color 8 reported that Nava died of a single gunshot to the head and has been ruled a homicide. Billings Police is investigating and anybody involved in the case is cooperating. In the same area of Billings, a teenager stabbed another teen near North Park. This incident happened Wednesday night, resulting in the victim hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries and the suspect arrested. A tweet from Billings PD, as reported by KTVQ, described both victim and suspect as 14-year-old males. The attack occurred in the midst of a conflict among a group of juveniles. That's the Montana News Minute. I'm Travis Lee.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With lots of sunshine across the area for today, High temperatures ranging from the lower 40s in Bozeman to about 53 in Billings. For tonight, staying partly cloudy. Temperatures falling off to about 22 in Bozeman to lows near 30 into the Billings vicinity. And the outlook for Friday does call for some areas of snow into Bozeman primarily, and then a few rain showers possible later in the day in Billings. Around 1 to 3 inches possible in Bozeman by Friday night, with highs at 34, highs at around 50 on Friday in Billings. On Friday night, we'll see some more light snow in the Bozeman area with 3 to 7 inches possible, and around an inch of snow possible in Billings as rain showers turn to snow on Friday night. Lows near 21 in Bozeman, 29 in Billings. And that's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. This is weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
He is not squishy, and he is definitely not
at PierceRV.com. Pierce RV and Marine, Montana's premier RV dealer.
Approved credit subject to prior sale. See dealer for details.
Serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, so I was out last week. I had to do my some of my annual military training, but you guys were in for a real treat because David Noble was here in the house for the whole week covering down. And, yeah, David, we were just kind of talking about this during the break with that story about Liberal Senator John Tester. But, yeah, I had seen the news before last week, but, you know, we had already had a million of the things that we were yapping about already. But, thankfully, you covered all the big news, all the big topics last week. You were like the only guy, because you were hosting our show, you were the only guy in Montana that was actually covering the actual news that was going on. Right. You're not, I mean, you're not even a journalism graduate.
Right.
You're not even a journalist. And yet you were the only one covering the news about Liberal Senator John Tester, Silicon Valley Bank fundraiser, all of these stories.
Well, and then it was worse than that, because the Biden administration, with the support of John Tester, bails out Silicon Valley Bank. And then the next day, John Tester is down in Silicon Valley going to $6,600 per person fundraisers, which is bad enough. And then the day after that, another story comes out about how the Keystone X, the environmental activist that killed the Keystone XL pipeline, was there rubbing shoulders with John Tester at the fundraiser, and John Tester's hanging out. And at the same time, John Tester is then pretending that, you know, oh, he sort of supported Keystone XL pipeline, but then he voted against it. And then he's in San Francisco, California, hanging out with these environmental activists that want to shut down fossil fuel. And then he's going to come and pretend that he's in favor of all energy. And I guarantee, you know, he's going to run and pretend to not want to shut down fossil fuels. But then when Joe Biden is out there calling for a complete elimination of all fossil fuels, John Tester won't say a word. And his silence is what speaks the loudest, because he's a Democrat, and he, every time that Joe Biden does something or these radical leftist Democrats do something and John Tester remains silent, that is him supporting it.
John Tester has had the power to stop all of this nonsense out of Washington, D.C., all of this destruction that's coming out of Washington, this disastrous foreign policy, because it is a one-vote Senate in many cases. If the Democrats want to get anything across the finish line, they need every single vote possible. So John Tester, if he actually cared about the Keystone Pipeline or anything else for that matter, he could have dug in his heels. And he's got the weight to dig in his heels. He could have dug in his heels and said, look, guys, I support what you're trying to do here, but I am not going to vote for it until you give me A, or until you give me B, or until you give me C. He would never do it. Never does it when it really matters.
No, exactly. And he could have shut down Joe Biden's $2 trillion spending package that they passed in January 2021, which everybody agrees that's what lit the fire of inflation. That was $2 trillion in blowout COVID, quote-unquote, spending after we had just spent $5 trillion the year before. And then Joe Biden comes in January 2021, and John Tester's the deciding vote to push through that $2 trillion, which blows out the deficit, blows out the debt, triggers the inflation crisis. And then John Tester's going to run for office and say that he wants to lower costs and he's concerned about costs. And this is the weirdest thing about how the Democrats have apparently done some polling on this, where if they just come out and they say we're in favor of lowering costs, and this is my policy. My policy is lowering costs. It's just meaningless.
Phony.
It's like Democrats. Here's how to be a good Democrat. You say, I support good things, and I'm against bad things. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And then you find some phony guy in a Western-looking outfit to hold a gun and to talk like you're from the deep southern part of Texas in a phony campaign commercial, and that's their playbook every time. Speaking of playbook, you shared this news last week. Politico's playbook had reported the news, I think it might have been an Axios Media originally, that apparently there's a lot of people that are trying to recruit the Navy SEAL Tim Sheehy, the CEO of Bridger Airspace in Bozeman. They're trying to recruit him to run for the United States Senate. And man, I've met the guy personally. They're an incredible family. I'll tell you what, I mean, he is just a class act all around, and incredible businessman, incredible, military veteran all around.
You know, you ought to get him on the show or invite him on, because I hadn't heard of him, really. I don't think there's a lot of name recognition out there for him, but it sounds like he's the real deal, and it'd be great to get him on your show.
You know, I was thinking the same thing, and because the news started to break just before I was going to be out for the whole week. But we've had him on before. It's been a while, but he has some great ideas about changing, you know, firefighting policies, not just at the federal level, but at the state level. You know, because again, having the background that he's got as a Navy SEAL and as a businessman, he approaches these things with a whole different viewpoint. Like pre-positioning wildfire capabilities, firefighting capabilities, having those assets already locked in, ready to go, instead of what we had been doing is, well, a fire breaks out, now we need all this help, now we try to get all these guys to come into Montana to help us fight fire, and we're going through this federal contracting system. Where do we get this capability? Where do we get that capability? And his argument was, no, let's get these assets already pre-positioned. Let's already lock them in. We know we're going to have fires. It happens every summer. So let's just already lock them in. So it's things like that he brings a lot to the table.
I will say this. I am so impressed with our wildland firefighters here in Montana, and frankly, I saw this personally last year. There was a big wildfire near where my parents' cabin is, and I had emailed the commander, whatever, and just said, hey, there's a cabin located at this location. It's a cabin from the 30s. It's a true, like, classic 1930s log cabin. I don't know if you guys can do anything to protect it. They went out there and put these, what they call pumpkins, in the yard, which are these huge, huge bladders of water. They cut down all the brush all around the cabin, put up these huge pumpkins full of water, and they fully protected the cabin. And I was like, wow, these wildland firefighters are impressive.
Oh, it's incredible, yeah. And how fast did they get that done?
Very quick, yeah.
From flash to bang, how fast did they make
prove this message? www.farm406.com. Farm 406, accelerating your health to higher altitudes.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
This week, Montana Governor Greg Gianforte has been traveling the state, participating in Montana Ag Week and National Ag Week celebrations. One of those stops was south of Belt, Montana, at the McCafferty Ranch.
Well, it's really important to celebrate ag. All of our great producers, whether they be wool growers, stock growers, grain growers, pulse crop producers, Montana is known for our superior quality commodities. And it's great to be here at the McCafferty Ranch in Belt, seeing some innovation.
And that innovation is how the McCafferty family finishes their cattle on a grass-fed sprout diet for around 150 days through their custom hydroponic plant that they developed. And they've been doing this for a while, but their new plant just got running this past summer.
What they've done here with the grain and the hydroponics, really innovative, makes them more drought resistant. So they have feed 12 months of the year out of a 40 by 60 foot building. It's pretty impressive. I think they've unlocked the code on something, and some other people could take advantage of this.
Gianforte said his administration is dedicated to providing opportunities for producers to add value to their businesses.
And our focus at the Department of Ag on value added is important, so we can keep the Montana brand on these great products all the way through the supply chain so that we can capture a premium value for this premium product that we're producing.
Happy Ag Week. I'm Wayne Northlund.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, plenty of options for plenty of candidates for the woke update of the week here as we chat with David Noble. By the way, the phone lines are open for you as well if you want to jump in on the conversation here at any point, 294-0970. Before we get to the woke update of the week, though, David, you and I were kind of talking about this off air here during the break as well. If we were to look back a year ago, first time ever, we're going to have two members of Congress in the House of Representatives since the early 1990s. Not first time ever, but first time since the 1990s. Back then, it was Democrat Pat Williams in the West and Republican Ron Marlanet in the East. So a year ago, now we finally get the option to have two members of the House again. And thankfully, both Republicans won. So for the first time in 100 years, we've got Republican Matt Rosendale in the East and Republican Ryan Zinke in the West. But I said this on the air a year ago. I was talking about the Republican infighting that was going on, particularly in the primary. But that's what primaries are for. I get it. But then even after the primary was over, Republicans were still fighting Republicans. And I said this on the air. I said, you guys, you are fighting the 2024 Senate primary when we've got two House seats to win in 2022. You had the more moderate Republicans bashing Rosendale. You had the pro-Rosendale camp bashing Zinke in the West. Because a year ago, the assumption was both of these guys will probably run against each other in the primary to then take on Liberal Senator John Tester in the 2024 Senate race. And so I was trying to say this a year ago because you had Republicans that were still infighting and fighting other Republicans when the primary was over. And I'm like, guys.
No, this is a major problem that we have on the right. This is a huge, huge problem that we have amongst conservatives, amongst Republicans. Frankly, it's been one of my primary issues. In fact, I actually had a New Year's resolution. I think last year, maybe it was this January, but my New Year's resolution was to not participate in this infighting amongst the conservatives. And I just sent out a tweet the other day. I support Trump. I support DeSantis. Trump is a great leader. DeSantis is a great leader. Trump would be a great president. DeSantis would be a great president. It's just this really weird thing where conservatives and Republicans, you know, if you don't agree with each other on 100% of every issue, then you're a rhino or you're a traitor or you're a this is treason or you're too moderate or you're an extremist. All of this stuff. And it's just this really weird phenomenon where we cannot simply follow what Ronald Reagan taught, which is if you agree with somebody 80%, you're a fan. And I was saying, like, look, every person has limited energy, and we have limited time, and we have limited resources. And if you're a Republican, or if you're a conservative, or if you're even just a moderate, and if you're spending all of your time, energy, and resources, which are limited, attacking other conservatives and Republicans for whatever reason, that means you're not spending that time and energy attacking literal communists, literal Marxists and communists that are trying to take over this country.
And I made that point a year ago. I said, guys, you know who is sitting back laughing right now as some of you attack Matt Rosendale and as some others of you attack Ryan Zinke because you can't get over whatever legislative issue that you've been hung up on going back to 2012? Like, the fact that you guys are still fighting about this stuff and you're bashing Rosendale and you're bashing Zinke after the primaries are already over, I said, John Tester is sitting back laughing because you are doing exactly what he wants you to do. And let's be honest, you probably saw the same polling that I saw. Our friend Jake Eaton did some polling here. And now I still fundamentally believe that either Ryan Zinke or Matt Rosendale could beat John Tester. But their numbers have softened because so many Republicans spent so much time attacking other Republicans. And so that's why I think you see this call, by some to say, hey, maybe there's another option out here, like this successful businessman like a Tim Sheehy, who is an incredible guy. I was even thinking about it. I was like, man, when I've had him on the radio before, this guy survived a plane crash in Florida. He was with a co-pilot instructor. It was a flight instructor and made big national news. This guy survives a plane crash. Well, it was the Navy SEAL, Tim Sheehy, from Bozeman, Montana. And so I had him on the radio back at the time. And
wow.
Crazy story.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that much about Tim Sheehy. I'd love to, hear his positions on the issues.
Yeah.
Give him a chance to talk. I love the idea of a businessman with that's not a politician running for office. The only concern, of course, is that they don't have a voting record that you can say, hey, look, here's their voting record. One thing that's great about having a Rosendale or a Zinke would be, hey, they've got a record. We know how they're going to act. I mean, Rosendale, for example, he's right on the issues. He votes votes the right way. He's willing to stand up. He doesn't cave. You know, so, you know, we'll see what happens. That'll be super interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and it'll be interesting because neither Rosendale nor Zinke have officially said one way or the other if they're going to run or not. I'd imagine both are considering it. There's also the Ron DeSantis of Attorneys General, Austin Knutson.
Right.
He'd be an incredible candidate, obviously, for obvious reasons. But we need him as AG, too.
He's one of the best AGs we've ever had, and he's so great at that job, and I don't want to see him leave it.
Another idea, Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter would make a great a great candidate.
Absolutely.
So the Republicans have a deep bench, and the Democrats aren't even on the bench. They're not even on the court right now.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Members of Congress concerned about the TikTok video sharing service. Hear testimony this morning from CEO Shou-Jin Chu.
Shou made his own TikTok video.
Some politicians have started talking about banning TikTok. Now, this could take TikTok away from all 150 million of you.
That desired ban is due to ties to China's Communist Party and the fear it can show children inappropriate, suggestive, or manipulative material.
Fox's Evan Brown. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis proposing expanding a school rule called Don't Say Gay by its critics.
The rule change would ban lessons on sexual orientation and gender identity from grades 4 through 12. Now, the initial law last spring was only for K through 3rd grade. The governor's new proposal doesn't appear to require the approval of lawmakers and would instead go to a vote by the Board of Education.
Fox 35 Orlando's Deborah Cho. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, jumping right back into it here with David Noble in the house with us every Thursday right here on Montana Talks. Yeah, this week's kind of been flying by in a way. I can't believe it's already Thursday here. Hey, Friday, tomorrow, 4 to 6 in the afternoon, if you want to come join us, David, I'm sure our listeners would love getting a chance to shake your hand and meet you. I'm going to be out at Brett's RV and Marine. They've got a big event going on this weekend, so we're going to be doing some live radio reports between 4 and 6 p.m. So while you're listening to the great Mark Levin, we'll be popping in, saying hello to you, and hanging out with all the cool boats and campers and everything, and our friends at Brett. So you're welcome to come join us too.
Boy, I can't wait to get out there and go camping again this summer. I've got every time about March or April, you start to get these sort of false spring or whatever when you get some of these nice days, and then a week later it's snowing, but boy, I can't wait to get out and go into an RV show. It just sounds awesome.
Yeah, the weather is as schizophrenic as American politics right now. It's like, it's spring, it's winter, it's spring, it's winter. In fact, so I did see there's going to be some more snow and moisture coming in this weekend. But I thought, okay, well, that's cool. We'll go look at all the toys on Friday. And then in just a couple of weeks, we'll start breaking our toys out.
Yeah. So, by the way, speaking of that, did you see that California is experiencing record-breaking precipitation and snow and rain, and it's really not in the news, and nobody's talking about how all the reservoirs are getting filled back up, and no mentions of global warming on any of these issues. It's really weird how all of that rain that's California not making, just hear about it when it's a drought.
Drought, it's all climate change and it's bad. In fact, I saw my friend David Spady, who lives in Bozeman. He's a Bozeman Montana native, but he works for Salem Communications, which is based in they've got a headquarters, Hugh Hewitt and crew down in L.A. And I think he shared a story. Is it Mammoth? Is that the ski resort down there or something? Could be open through the month of June.
Wow.
I mean,
that's amazing.
The
snowpack levels are way above normal.
I'll bet Red Lodge wishes they had a Forest Service permit that would allow them to keep people skiing past March,
No kidding.
All right. Well, let's see. The woke update of the week. I think it was Tim and Savage who says, well, there's so many options, so many things to choose from. But here's another option for the woke update of the week.
Yeah, we got this one from Tim. Thanks, Tim, for giving this to us. And by the way, folks, if you guys have proposals for the woke update of the week, you can send them to me on Twitter at LectureFan, LCTRFAN. Michigan University hosting separate graduation celebrations based on race. This is from Fox News yesterday. Liberal colleges have embraced racially segregated affinity group graduation celebrations in recent years. And this isn't when we're seeing it now because we're about to go into graduation season, but this isn't the first year we've seen this. Grand Valley State Multicultural Affairs Office lists graduation ceremonies for black students, Asian students, Latinx students, Native Americans, LGBTQIA+, -,
So basically, you're walking into graduation, can't sit here,
Pretty much.
The black graduation's over there. No, no, no. The Native American graduation's over there. Nope, can't come to our graduation. This is disgusting. It's
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into it here with David Noble. Yeah, the woke update of the week. Absolutely disgusting. They're holding separate graduation ceremonies. And you're right. They've experimented with this before. And they're basically trying to victimize people. They're trying to cater to people. They're trying to placate people. But they are basically resegregating America.
Right. It's segregation. I mean, it's straight up segregation.
They are, you know, the civil rights battle was fought so that we weren't segregating black kids from white kids.
Right.
And now they're hosting separate graduation ceremonies for black students and white students or LGBTQIA students. And I mean, it would be like if coming up this May, when the Metra in Billings has graduation ceremonies, if they said, well, okay, all the white students, we're going to have your graduation ceremony in the Metra Park Arena. You're going to be on the arena floor. And then any of the Native American students, we're going to put you in the Expo Center. And then any of the black students, we're going to have a banquet room set up for you in the upstairs. How disgusting would that be?
Oh, it's indefensible. And of course, they'll defend it by saying, "Hey, look, no, we are actually going to have one major one that's going to be everybody, and there's a celebration for everybody. And then these are just side ones, you know, just to honor African Americans and to honor Asians and to honor all this stuff." And it's like, so think about what kind of message that sent. So the main celebration is one that kind of everybody can go to, and including white people. But then all of the other sort of races then get their sort of side graduations. And it's almost like, okay, so the white people, they can go to the main celebration, and that's it, and they're good. The other people, the other races, have to then go to their sort of separate. What kind of message does that send?
Well, and then on just a practical level here, I want to go to the black graduation because that sounds like a hell of a lot more fun and a heck of a better party than going and hanging out with. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I say that as a guy who went to an all black college. Well, mostly black college.
No, that's awesome.
I went to Howard University and I had a blast there and felt at home there, you know, even as a white kid from the Rocky Mountain West. It's just, what in the world is this country coming to?
It's racial. I mean, if it's not out and out racism, then it's racialism, which is defining people by their race first and foremost, and saying that's what defines you. That's what the Democrats are saying, is that your race is the most important thing about you, and then that controls your experience in life, whether you're an oppressor or oppressed, whether you're privileged or not, what your beliefs are. You know, they'll tell you if you're a certain race and you don't believe what the Democrats want you to believe, they'll tell you you're really not that race. Joe Biden, you ain't black if you don't support me. To define somebody by their race and then to say that they have to believe something simply because of their race, I think is grotesque. I think that's racist. I think it harkens back to the Democrats and their slavery. Of course, remember, the Republicans are the party of ending slavery. The end of slavery was literally a conservative Christian. The idea that all men are created equal comes from the conservative Christian view that we're all created in the image of God. We're all, and that's a biblical reference. We're all created in the image of God.
If it wasn't for Christianity and if it wasn't for America, slavery would not have been defeated.
Exactly.
Now the Brits stepped up as well. I'm not discounting, but if it wasn't for Christianity, slavery would not have been defeated. Now there are parts of the world where slavery is still happening right now. China in particular, in Joe Biden's Bank of China, there is slavery, there is genocide that's occurring right now. There is forced sterilization of Muslim women that is happening right now. But this kind of, I I think this ties in with another thought that I had. In fact, I wrote this one down when the thought came to mind because I was like, I got to share this one with David. I was thinking about this earlier this morning because in the state legislature, this transgender debate has dominated a lot of the news headlines. And I was thinking about this because I saw a headline where some guy who got a sex change surgery 40 years ago said it was a con. And he was like, man, he's like, I can't believe I did that, you know, 40 years ago. But it brought this thought to mind that they don't care about trans kids. They want to transform America into something else. That's what they're doing here. Because if they cared about these kids that were struggling with gender identity or gender dysphoria, then they would help the kids through it, through the challenge. They wouldn't just say, oh, okay, time to chop off your body parts, time to give you these medications. It could lead to long-term complications. If they actually cared, they would provide care. They wouldn't chop off body parts and lead to these life-altering things. But they don't actually care about these kids. They don't care about trans kids or your kids or any kids. They want to transform America into something else.
That's exactly right. And it's part of the bigger project of going to the fundamentals of who humans are and who we are as Americans and destroying our traditional values, destroying our traditional beliefs. Because if you get rid of that, if you can invalidate that, if you can invalidate everything America's founded upon, if you can invalidate our morals and our you know, just society, then you can. It's easy to replace. Then you can easily push your socialism and everything else. And by the way, did John Tester ever condemn Joe Biden for telling that podcast host that if you don't support me, you ain't black? I don't remember John Tester ever condemning Joe Biden for that.
Yeah. Has he condemned Joe Biden for our wide open southern border? Now he'll say, I support border security, but then he'll never actually do anything about it. He'll do these symbolic votes, but when the votes really matter, absolutely nothing. Same thing, ESG. This could be a part of the woke update of the week, the environmental social governance standards, ESG standards. Thankfully, Governor Greg Gianforte here in Montana, 18 other governors have basically said no ESG in investments, and they're blocking it. But the Congress actually passed a bill to ban ESG standards from all this stuff being forced on America. And John Tester, he's gonna talk about this and pretend to be moderate next year when the election's underway. He voted in support of the ban on ESG.
Of course, knowing that Joe Biden would veto it.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter.
That's exactly what happened earlier this week. Joe Biden vetoed it. Issue goes away, but John Tester gets to campaign on it and pretend to be a moderate.
Yep. That's exactly right. Meanwhile, on the other really, really important votes on these issues, he'll be the deciding vote for Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer.
All around, yeah, all around. That's for sure. What are some of the other things I've got a bunch of stuff that I always like to talk about. But you've got a busy day doing your day job as a lawyer. So I'll have another 2 more hours to talk. What do you want to talk about that you've been yapping about on your Twitch TV podcast or anything like that?
The only thing I had was the woke update of the week. It's just last night I did Bible study on Twitch on Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
On Wednesday nights I do Bible studies on Twitch, and we have a huge number of people, and I'll say a prayer, and then my Twitch chat will fill with amens, and it's just a great time. And so we do.
And
Bible
that's not
studies.
Typically a platform that Bible studies take place on.
No,
you
I had,
started it.
Yeah. Right. No, I had a lot. I had people, new viewers in my Twitch stream last night, typing in the chat saying, "Whoa, this is the most interesting stream. I've never seen a stream like this on Twitch." You don't see Bible studies on Twitch. Last night I was doing a Bible study on Twitch.
Yeah. What was it? What was the verse that stood out, or what was the the topic, I guess?
Oh, we're reading through Mark right now.
Oh, okay.
And so we read through 4 or 5 chapters of Mark and talked about one of the verses we talked about last night is the verse and then we switched over to Titus 2:11. Titus 2:11, great verse where it talks about the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men.
Mm.
One of my favorite verses, just because it kind of answers the question of where does your conscience come from? Where does your right and wrong come from? You know, what happens to people that have never heard the gospel? And then Jesus Christ, of course, talked about how, you know, the second coming won't happen until the gospel has been preached to all nations. And so I always found that was one of the questions I always had growing up. It's like, what about people that have never heard of this?
Yeah.
Well, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all
men. Mm.
Straight up.
Titus, what's the...
Titus 2:11.
Titus 2, I'm going to bookmark that one.
That's one of my favorite verses. Yeah.
I like this YouVersion Bible app.
Oh, yeah.
It's the app on your phone, and it'll have a daily verse and things like that, but you can also kind of, you know, highlight and mark stuff like that so that you can go back and read it later, or maybe try to memorize it, too, if you're really high-speed.
No, you know, one of the things that we've lost in a society is the memorizing of lots of different things, and I used to try to memorize... You know that Teddy Roosevelt quote, the man in the arena, and and that was a great quote. I memorized that at one point, and it used to be that we would all memorize lots of different things, and now we don't teach memorization of anything anymore.
Yeah, you know, I always have to laugh about that, you know, like, because now it's like, well, everybody's always on their phones, and when video games first, everybody's always playing these video games. And when TVs, everybody's always watching TV. I wonder if when the Gutenberg Press came out and books were being printed, if the older folks were saying, well, now everybody's always reading books. Before, we used to speak to each other and memorize things, you know.
Totally.
All right, more with David Noble here right after this quick break on Montana Talks.
Fox News commentary.
A lawsuit against Buffalo Wild Wings takes a sarcastic turn as the chain's response goes viral. I'm Tommy Lahren. Find out next.
The Fearless and Proud podcast series looks at acts of bravery and strength by women. March is Women's History Month, and in this first season, we look at women who played important roles in the Civil War as soldiers, spies, and nurses. We'll discuss famous examples of women pretending to be men to become soldiers and spies on both sides. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
What exactly is a boneless chicken wing? Well, an Illinois man filed a lawsuit against Buffalo Wild Wings for allegedly misleading customers by advertising boneless meat as wings. The complaint details how boneless wings should be deboned chicken wings, but the restaurant uses chicken breast meat and calls it a wing when it's really a glorified nugget. The suit notes that other chains like Domino's Pizza and Papa John's each label their products as either boneless chicken or chicken poppers so as not to mislead customers. But Buffalo Wild Wings responded with a hilarious tweet that reads, "Our boneless wings are all white meat chicken. Our hamburgers contain no ham. Our buffalo wings are 0% buffalo." Listen, this is all very petty, and I doubt the lawsuit has much of a chance. But instead of being fired up by the definition of things, maybe we should all be
404 gold.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana-owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, David Noble in the house with us here. Okay, we had some computer connection issues with our email and some things earlier, and so but it's now back up and running. So we just got a bunch of messages here on our Montana Talks app that I want to share with our listeners here. I think this is Jonathan with Freedom Works. You know Freedom Works, incredible organization. So he's listening in out in Washington, D.C. He was listening in yesterday as well, but he says, "Aaron and David are spot on with Republican infighting. Uniting behind the nominee ensures Tester's ouster." I think he's exactly awesome. Right, yep. There. Bruce and Ennis says, "There's no infighting. Rosendale replaces Tester, then Zinke replaces Daines in 2026. That's what Bruce and Ennis had to say. Let's see. Right on, John. What did he have to say here? Talking about the crowded jails and the prison issue. I don't know if you heard,
that.
Yeah, so for those of you who missed the 6 o'clock hour, basically, you know, our jails are so crowded and the prison is so crowded that now the legislature is gonna basically send 120 prisoners down to Arizona. The Democrats are mad. The Democrats just think the prisoners should be put back out on the streets, basically, in these halfway houses. And so anyway, right on, John out of Paradise Valley says, "We could quickly put up secure pole barns with bunks for the less dangerous offenders, and then house the dangerous offenders in the hardened jails at the current jail sites. We'd have to hire more jailers." And then he also says yes to the Hardin the detention facility as well. I mean, that's a good point there. That's what Sheriff Arpaio did in Arizona when they were being inundated with crime. They built temporary jails to house the offenders.
And then give them pink underwear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I think that's what John Jackson wears on Tuesdays, too, when he's not wearing his Trump underwear. Were you listening in on that part of the conversation?
I heard most of it, but not that
part. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, good for you, because it's a bad visual all around anyway. Anyway, a bunch of great messages there on our Montana Talks app all around. What do you want to jump in on here?
You keep throwing that to me, Aaron. I didn't spend 6 hours reading news like I do when I'm actually guest hosting here. But Sunday before I started Monday morning, I spent like 6 or 7 hours reading articles and reading news so I was ready for the week. Just an insane amount of prep time it takes to do this show. So I didn't do that. So I don't have, you know, a whole list of things to talk about here.
That's all right. Well, this is one that I think ties in with the whole overcrowding of the jails and the prisons being full. And yet we have these and a lot of times they're being filled up with previous offenders that get put back out on the streets. They commit more offenses and then they put them back in jail and round we go. Liberal Judge Michael Moses, he doesn't step down from the bench until July. So this woman shot a cop. He's in the hospital with a hole in his stomach. She tried to shoot and kill other cops in Billings, Montana. He lowers her bond amount and then basically dismisses several felony charges against her. And to me, it's just like, wow. And here we go. We have a liberal judge in the twilight of his career going soft on cop shooters. It's just so par for the course with the liberal judges in this state.
Yeah, and I saw that there's two applicants actually for that position. Michelle Miller, I think, who's an attorney here in Billings at I think Sullivan and Miller, and then Bradley Neeland, who's a standing master here in Billings, and their applications are up on the governor's website. People can go in and look and read their sort of answers to the questions, read their applications and resumes, provide public comment on that. Don't have any idea on terms of any of these people's beliefs and sort of judicial temperament. And
but
course,
that's two of the names that are out right
that's
now.
That's two of the names that are out.
Well, very interesting. Well, David Noble, I see our time's already quickly escaping us. Like I say, call in anytime from the road or when you're listening in. We always appreciate your insight. Good to see you as always.
Thank you so much. It's an honor. Thank you.
All right. Hey, speaking of, people putting in their resumes for a job, well, let me put a resume in front of you. Actually, you don't need a resume. All you got to do is go to their website because you got to check these guys out. Billy Beatty and his crew with BD Equipment Services, they come from the High Line of Montana. They got that High Line Montana work ethic. So if you got a big project that needs to be taken care of, you got an old building that needs to be torn down so you can put something new up, you got a big dirt project that needs to be done, or maybe you just want to put in a garden, you got a smaller project. Let Billy Beatty and his crew at Beatty Equipment do the dirty work for you. You can call 406-201-7711 or go to BDEquipmentBLGS.com.